Snow-capped mountains loom over a ramshackle Tibetan village. Locals pull handcarts along a track, and another villager leads two goats towards a large stone wall. Suddenly, a helicopter hovers up behind the wall. Inside the chopper, the pilot hands a folder to two mercenaries.
This is our target. He's to be captured, not harmed.
Inside's a photo of some soldiers and an old English sheepdog.
Which man is it?
We're after the canine. His name is Ki Yak Po. Translation, Dog of Ageless Wonder.
Sir, this picture is 80 years old. Everybody in it is dead.
Not everyone.
The shaggy-haired dog stares out from the faded old photo. The chopper arcs round and flies over a ridge of mountains until it disappears within the dazzling light of the sun. In a temple, a group of shaven-headed monks wearing red and yellow robes sit on the floor praying before a large golden statue of Buddha. Among the monks is the old English sheepdog, who sits on his hind legs, with his front paws held together in the prayer position. The dog looks across to the doorway, as a young boy, also wearing monk's robes, comes in. The boy grins at the dog as he tosses a ball in his hand. The dog looks over at the elderly priest. The priest nods for him to go and the dog scampers out. He runs out of the temple with the young monk, who throws the ball down the street. The dog chases the ball along the dusty road and down an alleyway. He runs out through a doorway in the stone wall surrounding the village. A boot suddenly stamps onto the ball and the dog stops. He looks up at the mercenaries from the helicopter as one of them fires a net over him. Walt Disney Pictures presents The Shaggy Dog. In a front garden, a little white pug is peeing against a bush as a man in a suit comes out of the house, talking to himself.
It's misguided youth. Your Honor, that sounds so pompous. Not can't. What's another word for misguided? Misguided. It's too on the money.
He spots the pug and its owner.
Dog. Hey, Baxter. Why is it that my yard is that mutt's outhouse?
FYI, calling Attila a mutt is like referring to my Porsche Carrera as a Buick Skylark.
Hey, look, whatever kind of car your dog is, I'd appreciate it if he wasn't whizzing on my shrubs.
You know what your problem is, Dave? You hate dogs.
No, I do not hate dogs. I dislike dogs. I hate that dog. Now get out of here!
Stop that. You did not hear that, did you? You did not hear that.
Are you okay? Baby?
Forrester got himself in the newspaper today. And all over the TV.
Trial of Justin Forrester, a local school teacher accused of arson in a fire at Grant and Strickland.
Great. Forrester denied. Well, you just can't burn a building down because you think they're putting makeup on bunnies.
His wife's made breakfast.
You're going to Josh's parent-teacher conference, right? Josh!
What?
Josh's parent-teacher thing, 4 o'clock. He said you'd take care of it.
Honey, I'm starting a trial today. Ken Hollister's stepping down. Don't you want me to be the next DA?
Dave, you never make these things.
All right, I'll take him. Look, you know what? Let me say, once I get through all this stuff, why don't I take you to Oahu?
You know that way that you always say Oahu and you think it's so cute? It really just reminds me of how many times you've canceled that trip.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, good morning, Josh. How's football going?
Awesome. I'm playing tailback.
Just like your old man. I can't wait. When can I come down and watch you play?
Oh, you know, the games don't start for a while.
Really? Morning. Hey, take the T-shirt off.
Why? Did you drop the charges?
You know, this might be hard for you to understand, sweetie, but your social studies teacher, the Torch, is a criminal.
What's hard to believe is that my father's defending a puppy murderer. Who are you going to put in jail next, Grandma?
Well, the way she cooks, I should put her in jail. Here's your buddy, your hero, your social studies teacher.
This guy lit a lab on fire and he could have killed a lot of people.
Yeah, but he says he's innocent and I believe him.
Gee, a criminal thinks he's innocent. What a concept.
Oh, that's Trey. Josh, you want to ride?
In Trey's car?
Yeah.
Josh gets up.
Thanks, here you go. Bye.
Bye.
The kids leave.
Bye.
Stop Dave Douglas is on the t-shirt.
Oh, nice shirt. You know, if I was putting your physics teacher in jail, you'd be thrilled.
In court, Dave's addressing the judge.
Justin Forrester is a passionate advocate of animal rights, and I respect that. But this case is not about animal rights. This case is about whether the defendant criminally trespassed on Grant and Strickland property and set a fire that caused over $300,000 worth of damage. He broke into a company that's dedicated to good, from their organic pet foods and shampoos to their life-saving medicines, created by them to help people like you and me fight heart disease, arthritis, diabetes, obesity, and yes, even baldness.
A bald guy smiles.
We will, by the way, subpoena that tape. And I'm sorry, that's all the time I have. Thank you all very much.
Hey, here's your messages. Yep. And I am holding 4 o'clock open for your kid thing.
4 o'clock for the kid thing?
Unless you want me to go for you. Because I will.
No, thanks. Thanks.
Dave, a great opening. You really won over that jury.
I learned everything from you, Ken. Dr. Kozak.
Yes.
Glad to have you here. I'm sorry I couldn't put you on the stand today.
It's all right, apology accepted. You know, Ken tells me that when he steps down, you're going to be our next district attorney.
Well, that's my hope.
Certainly. Well, hopefully, justice will be served. You'll have my support, as well as that Grant Strickland. All right? Till tomorrow?
All right.
Okay. We actually just shook hands.
We did.
Dr. Kozak walks off, leaving Dave with grey-haired, middle-aged Ken. At the vast, futuristic offices of Grant and Strickland, dark-haired, sharp-suited Kozak walks into reception.
Thank you. Kozak, how did it go in court today?
Ah, Mr. Strickland, it went very, very, very well, sir.
Have you unlocked the dog's secret?
Let's talk in the elevator, okay? I have something to show you that I think will be most pleasing.
Strickland's in a motorized wheelchair. They enter a lab.
Have you figured out why the dog lives so long?
Well, I take it you're familiar with the concept of dog years, sir?
Don't like dogs.
You know,
I keep a squirrel. Dog.
Okay, a pet squirrel. I see, that's exciting. Well, typically, dogs age 7 years for every human year. But in the case of this one that we borrowed from Tibet, a genetic mutation reversed the equation.
What I'm saying is, he lives 7 years for every human year. Sir, this dog is over 300 years old.
The old English sheepdog lies on an examination table. Grey-haired Mr. Strickland leans towards the dog, who looks up at him, panting.
The things you must have seen.
If we could transmit that gene to humans, we'd all live 700 years.
We've isolated the gene fairly quickly.
But we're unable to viralize it outside his body for transmission to other species. Therefore, we've had to viralize his entire genetic code in corpus.
Which makes his bodily fluids...
pretty dangerous stuff.
Somewhat.
But it would have to enter the bloodstream to do any serious damage.
Correct.
We're really good.
So how close are we?
How about the snake?
Oh.
Yeah, let's come look at the snake. See how the snake's doing.
A snake in a glass case.
Might be no, sir, that when we got this snake, he was nearly dead. He was nearly dead of old age. Since we injected him with a serum made from the dog's viralized DNA, all cell degradation has ceased. And he's actually been getting stronger.
Does that snake have a furry tail?
That would be a side effect that I would classify as minor.
Kozak, dry mouth is a minor side effect. Growing a dog's tail is... it makes your serum into a carnival act.
You know what? Your job is to relax. Our job is to work out the kinks, okay? Because when we do, Lance, you and I are going to have the patent on the Fountain of Youth. Excuse me. Yes, security. Go for Kozak.
Protesters are gathered outside the building.
So we're lying down.
Kozak's with Dave.
So we're lying down.
When I called you, it was to make sure these people were arrested.
I understand that. If we arrest them, they turn into rebels with the cause on the 6 o'clock news. If you leave them there, they're just kids laying on the sidewalk.
So we're locked down.
Good
Good advice. Yeah, thanks for your help.
You bet.
I'm good.
Dave walks over to a couple of cops.
All right, fellas, let's just get some sort of perimeter on this. They're just kids. Let them do their thing. When they get hungry, they're all going to go home. Hold on a minute.
Dave glances down and sees his daughter lying among the protesters.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Carly. What are you doing here?
I'm lying down for what I believe in.
Good to see you, Mr. Douglas.
Always good to see you too, Trey. We need to talk.
Oh, yeah, sure thing. Trey, make some room for Dad.
Carly and Trey make a space and Dave pulls her up.
Ow. Get up, come on.
Okay, okay.
No, not okay. You gotta get out of here right now. You're leaving right now.
I'm sorry, but as a member of the animal rescue group, there are certain principles.
You're a member of the 11th grade. And if you don't get out of here right now, I'm gonna ground you.
Oh, yeah? Who's gonna enforce it? You? You're never home.
You're never gonna leave home unless you leave here right now.
She holds up her hands in frustration.
Come on, Trey.
It was nice seeing you.
You too, Trey.
In the lab.
Okay. Yeah, this one still freaks me out. A lot.
Can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs.
That's a good point.
Let's get a sample.
Okay.
Such a good dog. Never give us any trouble, do you?
Some blood is taken from the sheepdog.
Nice.
Gwen, the female scientist, puts down the syringe full of blood. The dog suddenly grabs it in its jaws.
Oh my God, it's a trap.
Dogs don't set traps.
Yeah, well, dogs don't live 300 years either.
Get the cattle prod.
Okay. The guy, Larry, reaches behind him.
Backing up to get the cattle prod. I have it.
Kozak walks in and the dog jumps off the table.
Watch out! That blood's viral!
The dog runs into the lift, presses a button and the doors close. Outside, Carly and Trey are walking.
He treats me like a 10-year-old.
What are you thinking?
That we can prove Mr. Forrester's right.
But you want to sneak in?
Just follow me.
The dog runs along a corridor filled with chemical barrels. In the lobby, a security guard is fast asleep in front of some video monitors as Trey and Carly sneak in. They walk along a passageway.
It's the middle of the day.
And if anyone asks, we're just looking for a bathroom.
The dog runs downstairs, leaps into Trey's arms, then jumps down to the floor.
I knew it!
He looks back at them.
Let's go!
They follow the dog out, then all drive off in Trey's souped-up Ford Focus.
We did it! We proved Mr. Forrester's right. They are testing animals in there.
All right, so then what do we do now?
We'll take them to the media and show them we've got this dog who's got no tags or markings that we can't actually prove came from Grant and Strickland.
Can we take him to your dad?
Oh, yeah, sure. And as deputy DA, he'll arrest us for burglary.
In the lab.
We've searched the whole building.
But we're going to keep looking.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
In the same places or new places? Because if you look in the same places...
I think new places.
Oh, yeah? Tell me you're a moron.
Definitely.
Larry?
Yes.
Don't speak. Do you understand the great lengths I went to get this dog? Yes?
Yeah.
It's a yes or no question, Larry.
Well, you said not to speak.
And... just because he holds the key to my future. So it would stand to reason that if you don't find him, well, you won't have a future.
Right.
Why are you still standing here? No sleeping, no talking. Find him.
Hey, sorry I'm late, guys. Where's my dinner?
In the microwave.
Right. So, you guys see the trial on the evening news? Great shot of your dad on Channel 8.
So, how was the parent-teacher conference today?
Dave suddenly looks worried and screws up his face.
I'm sorry. Completely slipped my...
He sees the dog sitting by Josh.
There's a dog in the kitchen. No, it's a dog-free home.
Dad, stop oppressing Shaggy.
He's got a name now.
Yeah, it just happened. He's so cute and he's very smart.
They're like breeding ground for fleas, and they don't contribute anything to the financial well-being of a household, and I'm not going to get...
The dog breaks free.
It was an accident. He's really sweet once you get to know him. Honey, are you all right?
I'm okay. Charlie, this is precisely why, no matter what happens, that animal's going back to where we came from.
He lays a newspaper at Dave's feet.
Look at that. He's paper trained. All right, come here.
Ow! Oh!
The dog bites Dave on the back of the hand. Thousands of furry little doggy microbes swim into Dave's bloodstream. A group of them attach themselves onto one of his blood cells and make it pop. In the garage, Dave's still yelling in pain.
You scared him.
Oh, he bit me.
Let me see.
The dog licks his hand.
Oh, he's licking it better. What could be more sweet? So no hard feelings, right?
The dog's locked in a truck.
Thanks, guys.
He licked you. He tried to apologize.
You know what? In our house, a lick is not considered an apology.
Well, if he doesn't have rabies, can we take him back?
As the men from the dog pound get into the truck, Dave walks back to the house. Dave's wife, Rebecca, comes into his study.
Hey. How's your hand?
Fine, thanks.
He looks puzzled.
What?
Why are you talking like that?
I don't know.
So, Josh's teacher called me today at work when you didn't show.
I am so sorry about that.
He's flunking math.
You're kidding. Josh knows he can't play football unless he passes math. I'll talk to him or something.
She also asked if there were any problems at home.
Yeah, that's good.
I told her that we'd reverted to cannibalism and that we were eating our neighbors.
Okay, great. I'd say the same thing.
He's engrossed in a book. Rebecca drops more books onto his desk.
What?
What happened to my husband?
Let's not exaggerate the situation.
Dave! You were bitten tonight by a stray dog and the kids took the dog's side. What does that tell you? You don't know what's going on with your own children. You don't know what's going on with me. When was the last time you even said I love you?
I love you.
That doesn't count.
Rebecca, wait a minute. Rebecca, stop. Stop for a second. Please, look. That didn't come out right. Turn around. Look. Sit down. Sit down. I got an idea. Tomorrow night, I'm going to come home early. I'm going to cook dinner for the kids. Spend some quality time with them. And you know what the next night is?
Do you?
Yes. It's our anniversary. So, we make reservations at Grace. Get that table by the window that we love. I'll sing in French like you know that I can't do.
You have to do more than just talk a good game. You have to follow through, okay?
Yeah.
You have to connect with the whole family again.
I love you.
They kiss, and Dave scratches the back of his head like a dog.
I got this.
Rebecca stares at him like he's crazy. The early morning sun peeps over the house. Rebecca switches off the alarm clock and stretches sleepily. She looks around for Dave and finds him asleep at the foot of the bed.
Honey?
She strokes his hair.
Rough night's sleep?
No. I slept great.
Wow.
He rubs his face.
I dreamt. I chased cars all night. Yeah. Hey, you know what we should do? We should get out today. Get out. Just go outside. Go.
He tries to grab the cord at the back of his dressing gown and spins round and round until he catches it.
We should go to the park. We should go to the park and just run, huh?
Dave comes out of the shower, dripping wet. He shakes himself like a dog. Droplets of water fly off him, and he looks at himself in the mirror. Dave's hair is untidy as he checks himself in the bedroom mirror. He squirms uncomfortably in his suit, then stops and looks around. He grimaces and holds his hand over his ear, then strides out. Josh is in his bedroom dancing along to his personal stereo as Dave storms in.
Turn that down, please.
Dad, don't you ever knock?
I can hear that all the way in my room. That high-pitched what? Turn it. There's a machine. Turn the machine off. Oh. Oh. Great. I hear everything.
Dave joins Rebecca in the kitchen.
Beautiful day out there. I smell bacon and syrup. Wow.
She's taken them out of the fridge.
I smell everything today. I smell apples, which are over here, and fresh fruit, and lemon. Well, of course, I put lemon on that wood. A little bit of turpentine in there, too. I can smell that. Ooh, what's that? What's that? Do you smell peanut butter? Wheat? No? Something else in there?
He smells around Rebecca.
No,
bougainvillea, no, hyacinth roses.
What is going on with your hair?
Cedar. It's like wood. It's just...
My perfume?
Yeah.
Did I put on too much?
No, I like it. And that music. Here, where's the music? Over there.
Yeah? I play it every day.
High notes. Those high notes. Can you hear those high notes? It's fantastic. Great smells, great sounds, beautiful wife. The kitchen is a paradise. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Dad.
Dave sniffs his mug of coffee, then laps it like a dog. He screws up his face.
It's hot. Bitter. Terrible coffee. Ugh.
He opens a packet of Special K and sniffs inside. He pours some into his bowl.
Hey, Mom tells me that your math grades are falling a little bit, huh?
Yeah, it's been a pretty tough year.
Yeah?
Dave sticks his face in the bowl to eat.
I guess I should spend more time studying.
I want you playing football as badly as you want to play.
What?
Dave slurps his food again.
You can't keep your grades up. We're going to have to pull you out of football.
Josh, his eyes popping, watches his father gobble up the cereal and milk from the bowl. Milk drips from Dave's nose and he drops the spoon. Dave self-consciously picks up a napkin and wipes his face.
I got to run.
He takes his bowl and coffee mug over to the sink, then moves to Rebecca and slips an arm round her.
Ooh. Ooh. I love you. Does that count?
I don't know, maybe.
He licks her cheek.
Gotta go. Bye, guys.
Baxter's with two gardeners.
Do you know what pruning is? Is that a lost art? It is snipping, not slashing.
Dave steps outside. He creeps towards a plant, then, crouching, sniffs the hedge. Dave sniffs another plant, then turns. Across the lawn, he spots Attila.
Fire!
Dave runs
fire.
Across the lawn, chasing Attila.
Fire!
He pants, then turns and sees Baxter and the gardeners staring at him.
Morning, Baxter.
It's a beautiful morning.
The sun is shining as Dave drives along the road with the window open. He sticks his head out and grins as he feels the wind in his face. His teeth clench in an embarrassed smile when he looks up and sees a dog in the car alongside him, its head out of the window. The other car pulls away. In court, Kozak's on the stand.
Security called me in the middle of the night. That's when I discovered the fire. Fortunately, though, the sprinklers went off and put it out before it spread to the rest of the building.
Dr. Kozak, there's a document I'd like you to take a look at.
Dave goes to his desk and rummages through papers, then eventually notices Laurie handing him a document. She knits her brow when Dave grabs the papers with his teeth and lurches back to Kozak. As Kozak goes to take the papers, Dave pulls his head away several times. Ken watches. Dave shakes his head from side to side till Kozak gets a hand on the document. He pulls them, but Dave won't let go.
Mr. Douglas.
He spits out the torn pieces of paper.
Well, could you tell us what that is?
Yes, I'll just dry it off briefly first, if you don't mind. This is the company's policy on animal testing. We perform only non-invasive and humane tests, and I might add none of it, occurs in the building where the fire...
Objection, Your Honor. It has never been assessed.
The defense counsel cowers as Dave growls at her.
Mr. Douglas. Mr. Douglas! Did you just growl at opposing counsel?
No. I need some water.
It's carpet, I think. Something going on.
He drinks some water.
Do you need a brief recess?
No, thanks.
Just growl at me?
No, I had something caught in my throat.
The stenographer types.
One more outburst and I'm holding you in contempt.
Run! Silence! Quiet!
Dave clasps his hand over his mouth. Laurie does the same.
I think I could use a...
Sass! 10 minutes!
The judge stares as Dave walks away. The court artist draws a picture of a growling Dave in the men's loo. Dave splashes water on his face and looks in the mirror.
What's with my hair? Oh, what's wrong with me? Growling.
He shakes his left hand and rips off the bandage. He starts licking, then gnawing at the wound on the back of his hand. He catches sight of himself in the mirror. He stops himself.
Whoa.
Dave steps over to the urinals. He unfastens his fly, then leans against the wall and cocks his leg up. The man two spaces down stares at him.
That's weird.
Laurie's outside.
Dave, what is going on?
Laurie, I am ill. I am leaving. I want you to tell the judge.
Hey, Dave, you can't see Channel 8. Just one question, please. Is there any possible way you can win this case?
Dave's at the animal shelter.
Well, he definitely does not have rabies.
Well, then what does it have?
Well, he has a silky coat and a great disposition. I tell you, that's one good dog.
Where is he?
This way.
Dave walks past a woman with a cat. The elderly, long-haired woman turns herself and her cat away from Dave. He enters a dark room filled with cages. Dogs pace around in the cages, barking at Dave as he walks along the aisle. Dave looks uncomfortable and fiddles with his tie, then shudders as he glances left and right at the dogs. Dave grimaces and holds his hands to his head. In one of the cages is the old English sheepdog, who stands when he sees Dave approaching. Dave stares through the bars at the sheepdog.
You. Listen to me. Why'd you bite me? You meant to bite me, didn't you? You did mean to bite me. I can hear you. I can hear you.
He turns to another dog.
What? What do you want? You and your buddy. Yeah. Oh, you want some of this? Is that what you want?
He starts barking himself, then screws up his face and holds his ears.
I can hear all of you. Quiet.
He looks at the sheepdog.
Why did you bite me? You bit me on purpose. You knew who I was, didn't you? You bit me because you knew it was me. What's happening? What's happening to me?
The image whizzes through Dave's eye and into his body, where millions of furry little doggy microbes are having a field day with his cells and DNA. The image whizzes back out of Dave's eye. He's now turned into an old English sheepdog. The other dogs in the pound stare in wonder as Dave the dog leans on the bars with his clothes lying in a pile beside him.
Wow, that felt weird. Okay, don't just sit there. I want answers. Why'd you bite me? Huh? What do you mean I'm an animal? Is that some sort of lawyer crack? Wait a minute. Why is that I understand you? Run from what?
The guy comes in.
Hey there.
How'd you get out?
Well, you let me in here.
Wow. You're taller than I remember.
What do you do with that stick?
Come here.
Hey!
Dave runs between the guy's legs and into the reception, where he slips and skids on the shiny floor.
Whoa. Why am I running on all fours? Thank you. Man, am I flying. Why'd I ever run on two?
He runs down the street.
This is weird. What's hit me in the face? What is that? That's my tongue. I can taste my own eyeball.
The guy from the pound runs out onto the street.
Oh, man. Hi there.
The two scientists.
Hoping you can help us. Our dog wandered off.
Dave runs past a TV shop, which shows the passers-by on screen.
Whoa. Back the truck up. Look at that. That's that new 42-inch plasma. What is that? Is that me? It's impossible. That can't be me. I'm barking now? Did someone knock me out and put me in a dog costume? Right, because that happens all the time. I get it.
I'm dreaming, yeah. In about 5 seconds, I'll be naked in the courtroom. I've got to wake myself up. Yeah, wake myself up.
He slams into the window.
Ugh, that hurt. So I'm not dreaming. I'm not in a dog costume, which can only mean one thing. I'm a dog. Weirder things have happened. I am a dog.
Perfectly understandable, everybody. I'm a dog. I am a dog.
In the pound.
Is this him?
That is him. That is him. Thank you. Are a lifesaver. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids have been crying all day.
Can we take him now?
Yeah, sure.
Right now.
Dave runs down his street.
Please be home, please be home, please be home, please be home, please be home. Hey, Tom, hey, Mary. Tom, Mary, please be home, please be home, please be home, please be home. There we go, all right.
He runs up to his front door and leaps up and down, scrabbling his paws against the doorknob.
What's going on? I can't open this. Come on, Dave, grab and turn, grab and turn. How do dogs do anything with these?
He rings the doorbell with his nose, and Carly answers.
Hi!
Shaggy, you're back!
No, I'm not Shaggy. I'm Dad. Carly, you gotta help me. It must have been that dog bite. When the dog bit me, I turned into Shaggy. Why is that funny?
Gosh, you're talkative, aren't you?
Oh, that feels good. That feels good.
Oh, you're so cute. Hello, how you doing?
Oh, wow. That is so good. Wait. This is important.
Hey, Shaggy. Where'd he come from?
I don't know.
No. Listen to me. Listen. I'm your dad.
Huh. Wow, he's really hyper today.
I am your dad.
Hey, do you need to do your business?
Business? Did my daughter just ask me if I wanted to use the bathroom? Wait a minute. They can't hear me. All they hear is barking. I got an idea. Here, over here. Follow me.
Inside, Dave pulls a Scrabble game off a shelf and the letters spill onto the floor.
Watch, you guys. Let's see. I am...
Shaggy, no! Bad doggy!
I am dad. I am dad. I need a D. A D,
Stop.
A D. What are you doing?
Shaggy.
Stop. What are you doing? Quit cleaning up. 16 years, not once have you tried to clean up your room. But boy, when dad turns into a dog, you're right there cleaning everything up.
That's Janie. I gotta go.
Where are you going?
You promise you won't tell Mom and Dad?
Yeah.
I don't like the sound of this.
I'm getting a tattoo.
What?
Janie knows this place where they don't ask for ID, and I'm gonna get the Animal Rescue Group logo tattooed right across my...
Oh, I don't think so!
Shaggy, where are you going?
Hey, Carly! Hurry up!
Dave runs out.
Oh, look at you, doggy! Look at... Whoa, boy.
Janie quickly winds up the window of her yellow sports car as Dave jumps at it.
Shaggy, don't!
Janie, listen to me! How could you do this? You're a good girl! You went to church camp!
Josh and Carly pull Dave off the car and Janie speeds off.
Shaggy, what's gotten into you? Bad dog!
Don't use that tone with me. You're grounded, young lady. You are ground dead.
He's kind of freaking me out a little.
Huh?
Maybe we should take him back to the pound.
No. I'll be good. Look, I'm good. Look at this. Look how good I am. Look who's a good doggy. This is humiliating.
He probably just needs to run around a little.
I just ran 5 miles to get here. I don't need a run.
I know. I'll take him to the dog park.
No, I have stuff to do, important stuff. I'm not going to a dog park.
At the park, various dogs of different breeds crowd around Dave to sniff his backside. Dave stands there with his head cocked.
Is there anyone in this entire park who has not sniffed my butt? No. Thanks. I don't want to sniff your butt. Maybe later. I just want some answers. Has anybody here ever heard of a human being turning into a...
Hey, Shaggy. Hey.
What?
Want to play with the Frisbee?
Josh, I am not playing Frisbee. I got it!
Dave runs after the Frisbee and catches it in his teeth.
Yes! Nailed it!
Awesome!
A girl on a bike.
Josh!
Hi, Tracy. How's it going?
Where were you today?
What do you mean?
Auditions for Grease?
That instinct is really intense. It's like insane.
Hey, I got a dog. Pretty cool, huh?
Here you go. Keep the Frisbee. I'll be right back. I gotta talk to those other... I got it!
Dave leaps to catch it again.
Nothing but mouth.
I'm not doing the musical this fall.
What?
Just don't wanna.
Funny. You're cute. Be at the theater tomorrow, 3 o'clock. And, don't get too cocky. Just 'cause you're the best doesn't mean you're gonna get the part.
Tracy rides off and Dave comes back with the frisbee.
Did you see that catch, Josh? That was great. Way up in the air. Hey, what's the matter?
Josh frowns and hangs his head, looking worried. In the lab at Grant and Strickland, the other old English sheepdog is shut in a small cage with a muzzle over its mouth. He glances at a chimp in another cage. The two scientists, Gwen and Larry, stare in at the dog.
You were a very bad dog.
Are you going to be a good boy?
The dog shakes his head. Gwen talks to Larry.
You get the cattle prod, I'll get the needle.
Okay.
They step away from the cage and the sheepdog looks over at the chimp, who jerks its head up and down and barks like a dog. Rebecca and Carly are in the Douglas's dining room.
So when was Dad supposed to be home?
About an hour ago.
Josh and Dave come in.
Hey, honey.
Honey, remember that in sickness and health thing?
What's for dinner?
Well, your father was supposed to be cooking. At least he said he was the last time he returned one of my phone calls.
Oh, boy. That's the mad face. You smell mad. Are you in heat?
Did you check your email?
The computer. That's it! All right.
Shaggy! Where are you going?
Carly and Josh follow shaggy-coated Dave into his study. He holds a pencil in his teeth and uses it to type on his laptop.
Okay, I can't make dinner.
Shaggy, stop causing trouble.
It's a shorter word for metamorphosis. All right. Look, I can't make dinner. I can't make dinner because I turned into a... Don't shut that! Hey, watch this.
He flips on his glasses.
Who does this remind you of?
Wow, maybe he escaped from the circus.
Come on, kids. Try to see past the fur and the tail, the snout and the drool.
How cute!
Honey, you recognize me? Honey?
Do you guys think your dad is going to come through or should we go ahead and order in?
Let's order in.
Ouch.
It's dark as Rebecca brings Dave into the garage.
Well, I would let you sleep inside, Shaggy. But my husband won't allow it.
Now there's a bitter irony.
Good night.
Wait, honey. I'm sorry about tonight. I love you.
Rebecca stares at barking Dave and frowns in puzzlement.
Sweet dreams.
She turns out the light and leaves. Dave settles down on some blankets.
I really do love you.
Dave chews on a red rubber ball, then lays his head down. The house is dark and silent as a bright moon shines down. In the garage, the red ball lies on the floor, and beside it on the blankets, Dave wakes up. He grabs the ball in his teeth, then sits up as he realizes he's human again. He's naked, apart from one of the blankets which has wrapped itself around his waist. He spits the ball out of his mouth, then looks at his hands and touches his face and rubs his head. He undoes the blanket round his waist and checks himself out with a grin, then looks around for his clothes. Finding none, he grits his teeth and stands up, then scuttles out. Rebecca's asleep as Dave, still wearing just the blanket, carefully opens the bedroom door and creeps inside. Rebecca wakes up and he freezes guiltily.
It's 3 a.m. Where have you been? What happened to your clothes?
Clearly you're upset and I would be upset too, but there's a simple but hard to swallow explanation for all this. I turned into a dog.
She cocks an eyebrow. Dave's on the landing as Rebecca throws some pillows at him and slams the door. In his office, Dave buttons up his jacket.
Lori, I want to thank you for picking up my car at the animal shelter.
I figured you were getting it fixed.
Ooh.
No thanks. Necessary. Is there anything else I can do for you this morning?
Actually, I need some research done.
Oh, okay, great. On what?
Dogs and man and dog. Have you ever heard of a man turning into a dog?
Well, they all do eventually, don't they?
You've been drinking, haven't you?
Dogman, I'm on it. Do you mind if I ask why?
It would be better if you didn't.
Right, okay.
Later, he's with Ken.
I'll be honest. The reports of your behavior in court yesterday were unsettling, as was your disappearing the rest of the day.
Yeah, I know. And I'm sorry about that. I had some kind of food poisoning. I was mildly delirious.
They come to a lift.
You going down?
Yeah.
They get in and the doors start to close.
Hold it!
A police officer stops the doors and comes in with an Alsatian on a lead. Dave snarls to himself as the doors close again.
Should have taken the stairs.
But you're fine now.
Yeah, I'm great now. Thanks, Ken.
Good. Because people don't want a loose cannon working in the DA's office.
The Alsatian seems very interested in Dave, who tries to shield his backside with his briefcase as it sticks its nose up his bum.
Ain't got anything illegal up there, do you?
Ken glances back at the cop and laughs. Dave and the other guy in the lift join in. Dave snarls under his laughter.
By the way, Lloyd Gannon called today about working on some preliminary campaign ideas.
Sit.
Dave sits.
He wants to go grassroots to start. Nealis and Doheny and work up to television and radio.
Ken hasn't noticed as Dave slowly stands, then squirms as the Alsatian has another go at his butt.
You okay?
Dave's huge tongue flops out of his mouth and he pants. He touches his tongue and frowns. He pushes it back into his mouth, but it flops out again. He shoves it back in and keeps his mouth closed. Ken gets out of the lift.
You sure you're okay to go into court today?
Yeah.
Ken waves at him and walks on. Dave stuffs his tongue back in and tilts his head back. In court, the accused, Justin Forrester's in the witness box.
There were these little bunnies. There were poor little fluffy bunnies all crammed together in a cage.
And you thought it was a good idea to set a fire where there's fluffy bunnies present?
Objection, Your Honor.
Overruled.
Look, I didn't set the fire, and I saw what I saw.
Well, how come we can't see what you saw? Do we need special goggles for this? Is this like a Bigfoot affair?
Objection, Your Honor. He's badgering the witness.
People come in, we can't even see these things. I saw a monkey who acted like a dog.
Dave cocks his head.
Counselors, approach the bench.
The defense lawyer walks over to the judge, but Dave stays put.
Get over here!
He walks over and stands with his hands up on the judge's bench.
Don't you dare turn my courtroom into a barnyard.
Get your chin off my desk.
Go on.
He backs away, head bowed.
I assume you're going somewhere with this line of questioning?
I'd like a treat first. Yes, I was. Thank you.
Proceed, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor. How did this monkey act like a dog?
It was growling and chasing its tail.
Was there anything else that was genetically odd?
There was a snake with a tail like a dog. And rats. Rats that barked.
Kozak laughs along.
It's true. Look, it's true. I'm not lying. I'm not crazy.
Order.
This dog that you saw, what did it look like?
It was a big, woolly sheepdog.
Dave stares at Justin. Kozak watches, drumming his fingers against his arm.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Thank God. Court adjourned.
Dave watches as Kozak quickly marches out.
Josh was one of my best math students, and then all of a sudden, bad grades. And so we're just trying to search out an explanation, really.
Well, I think the problem is he's distracted by football.
Can I? I think I know the problem. The problem, I think, is me. I've been working too much. This is what this is all about. I haven't been home. It's been causing a lot of stress on my family.
Well, I know what it's like to be too busy to do anything. In fact, I didn't even get to eat lunch today. Do you mind if I just eat a little something?
Go ahead.
Thanks.
I realized this in court, actually, last couple of days, that amounted that I was in.
Dave stares at Josh's teacher's big fat sandwich and sniffs.
Can you smell that? It is so smelly in a great way. That is turkey.
She eats.
Look at that.
Dave stares hungrily at the food in her mouth.
Do you want a half?
Hmm?
Come on, please.
She holds out a sandwich.
No, we're here to talk about Josh. Boy. Anyway, I'm just going to commit myself to this. There's nothing more important than Josh. There's nothing more important to me. Nothing more important to me than family.
He looks out of the window.
True. Oh, that's great. I love hearing that.
He sees a cat.
I know, as a teacher, I love to hear.
He runs out.
Honey? I'm so sorry. I mean, he's really a wonderful father. You know, we just have a very normal lifestyle.
Yeah, it just seems that way.
Very down to earth.
Who let the dogs out?
While Rebecca and the teacher chat, Dave chases the ginger cat across the school grounds. He tries to follow it over the road and is almost knocked over. Dave chases the cat across the bonnet of an animal patrol van and gallops after it on all fours. The cat darts through a bush and Dave crashes after it. The cat leaps over a fence and dodges around to avoid the lawn sprinklers. Dave vaults over a gardener's back and chases the cat across the lawn, stopping to drink from a sprinkler. The cat runs off underneath an old lady's walking frame, and Dave gallops after it, barging into the old lady and sending her flying. She ends up caught in the branches of a tree. Still on all fours, Dave pursues the cat along a street towards an outdoor cafe. One of the diners smiles at his friends and holds up a bread roll.
Now, this is why I come here.
The cat runs across the table, followed by Dave, who splatters everyone with food. Baxter's driving and talking on his mobile phone.
Toning up all day long just for me. That's why they call them trophy wives.
Attila the pug barks as he sees Dave and the cat run out in front of them. Baxter slams on the brakes and Dave legs it as a huge truck smashes into the back of Baxter's sports car. Attila gets his face flattened against the windscreen. Dave chases the cat into a dead-end alley.
I got you now. Oh, come here!
The cat dives into a pipe.
Now I got you.
He reaches his hand into the pipe and the cat scratches him. The cat escapes and Dave looks at his reflection in a puddle. He puts a furry paw into the water, making it ripple. When the water settles again, he finds he's turned back into a dog.
Nuts!
The cat yells at him from a low chimney.
What?
Well, if you didn't do anything wrong, why were you running?
An animal warden nets the cat.
Serves you right!
Another catches Dave.
Gotcha. This is just not my week.
He's snared on a metal rod lead. In the lab, a rabbit wears an anti-bite collar. Gwen looks up from a microscope and talks to Kozak.
I think we've got it. This rabbit was injected with the serum 2 days ago.
Uh-huh.
So far, cell degeneration has ceased with no side effects.
Sure.
I'm sure.
Are you absolutely entirely certain?
Absolutely.
I've done it.
We've done it.
I've done it!
Something to do with it.
I'm going to call Strickland. I bet he's going to want an injection of this stuff right away.
Oh, can we do that? Isn't there like an FDA?
Larry, the man's got one lung in someone else's kidney. He'll risk it. Gwen, I want you to manufacture as much serum as you can. And don't worry about the FDA. It's nothing money can't handle.
Josh and Carly walk through the dog pound.
That's him.
Kids, boy, am I glad to see you.
This mastiff just sold me for 3 biscuits.
Where you been? We've been looking all over for you, boy. Come on, come on.
I'm going to wait for you guys to come get me out of here.
Let's go. I got a football game to go to.
There's a game today? Wow. I get to watch you play. That'll be great.
At the school sports field, 2 teams of kids play American football. On the bench, Josh, looking pristine, sits among his dirt-covered teammates. He reads a copy of Grease while Dave barks at the coach.
Hey, coach, would you put my kid in? We waited all game for this.
Douglas! You're in a tailback.
The others laugh.
Oh, it's okay, coach. You don't have to play me.
What?
Everybody plays, Douglas. Come on.
But with the game on the line and all.
We're up by 30. Now let's go.
Josh puts on his helmet.
Get in. Come on, Josh. Come on, buddy. Get in there. Come on.
Sorry, coach.
That's what I got to deal with.
Show him what you can do. Show him what you can do. The other team's afraid. I could smell it. And a hot dog. And a poodle.
Josh tries to get into the huddle as his teammates clap their hands and split up. They take their positions on the field while Josh looks lost.
Douglas! Tailback! Behind the fullback! Back up! Back up! Back up! Back! Back, 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 back! Right there! Stay right there!
The game resumes and the opposing offenses crash into each other. A player grabs the ball and runs towards Josh.
Here it comes! You got the ball! Run! Run!
Josh is given the ball and freezes in fear as the opposing players flatten him.
Ow!
Man, that's gotta hurt.
Hustle!
Josh runs back to the bench.
Attaboy, Josh. Come on, shake it off. Pain is just fear leaving your body, buddy.
You completely suck, Douglas.
Why'd you even show up? Everybody thinks you're a loser.
The two kids run away from snarling Dave.
Thanks, pal.
Wish I could buy you an ice cream. But I've got paws and don't have a wallet because I'm actually nude right now.
Josh and Dave walk through the park with Tracy.
Football? That's why you're not trying out? You hate football! I know, but my dad loves it. You should hear him. Ah, you're gonna be just like your old man. If I told him I wanted to do a musical instead, he'd, like, write me off as a son.
Oh, Josh.
Josh, is your father a stupid man?
No, but he is clueless, which, in some ways, is better.
Oh, boy.
See, he told me I could only play if I keep my grades up, so I started flunking math, but he only let me off with a warning. So now I gotta flunk English and maybe history and home ec, which is actually really hard to fail.
No, Josh.
So you'd rather wreck your future than tell your dad you hate football?
I can get my grades back up as long as he makes me quit in time.
Wow. Men are so complicated.
Tracy rides off.
How did I let this happen? What kind of a father am I?
Carly shows Trey an animal rights pamphlet.
So, what do you think of the new pamphlet?
It's infuriating. No, but in a good way. Makes me want to get out there and do something about animal testing.
That's the response I was hoping for.
Hey, what are you doing in my daughter's bedroom?
You rock.
Don't even think about it, Trey.
Shaggy, stop.
He sees the pamphlet.
What's that? That's really well done.
Admit it, though. This is way more effective than a tattoo.
One thing I learned from Mr. Forrester is that just because something seems ridiculous doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just takes more courage to stand up for it.
Wow, you really believe all of this. I am so proud of you.
Dave licks her face.
All right, down, boy.
Hey, easy on the hands, bud.
I mean, just imagine what would have happened if we hadn't stolen Shaggy from Grant and Strickland.
You what? Stolen? You stole a dog from Grant and Strickland and you lied about it.
Shaggy, come on. Come on. Go fetch, boy. Come on.
I'm not your boy, and
come
I'm
on,
not going to go.
Fetch.
Hey, I'll be right back.
Dave runs into the hallway for the dog chew, and the door is slammed behind him.
I've got to stop doing that.
I got chills. They're
Josh, still wearing his football kit, comes dancing into the hallway. Dave stares at him.
Keep going.
What? Why are you looking at me like that?
You're pretty darn good at this.
Hey, let's order some pizza. Mom and Dad are out to dinner.
Dinner? Oh, no. I forgot about our anniversary.
Rebecca sits alone in Grace, an elegant restaurant. At the next table, a frumpy woman holding a book leans over to her.
You should have brought a book. The single woman's best friend.
Oh, I'm not single.
Oh. Rebecca looks around.
Yet.
Dave scampers down the street to the restaurant.
I'm late. I'm so late. I am so late.
He carries a bunch of roses in his mouth.
I'm also a dog, so I can't go in there.
He looks through the window at Rebecca.
You are so beautiful.
She frowns when she sees him through the window.
Shaggy?
And I am so sorry, honey.
Lightning flashes in the night sky.
Happy anniversary.
Rebecca drives with Dave beside her. She's on her mobile.
It's me. I cannot believe that you stood me up for our anniversary dinner. And then you send a dog with roses in his mouth? Are you trying to push me away? We need a dog, but I don't know how we're going to get past this one.
What?
Goodbye.
I know. Please don't cry.
Didn't you used to be like this, Shaggy? You used to be here for everything. And if he couldn't be, then he would call. Or he would send a note or flowers. Or sometimes he would write these funny little rhymes.
They stop at some traffic lights.
Oh, Shaggy. Don't you cry, too. Is this how it ends? With him, God knows where, and me hugging the dog?
No, I'm going to figure out what happened to me, and I'm going to fix it. And I'm going to be a better man. I promise.
Oh,
I love you.
Don't pee in the car, okay? We're almost home.
Dave lies on the garage floor while Rebecca covers him with a blanket.
Say, thanks, honey.
She strokes his head, then goes to the door. Dave lays his head on the rug.
Oh, boy.
Rebecca turns off the light and goes, closing the door behind her.
This is just not working. I'm not a bad dog, but I'm a terrible man. I've got to make this better.
A bright full moon passes across the night sky. In the garage, Dave lies face down near his vintage hot rod. He's human again and covered by one of the blankets as he wakes up and looks around. He thinks for a moment, then droops his head guiltily. Now wearing a suit and open-necked shirt, Dave lays a note on his pillow, being careful not to wake Rebecca, who's gently sleeping on her side of the bed. He walks out of the bedroom. Ken, wearing pajamas and a dressing gown, opens his front door to find Dave standing there.
Hey, Ken, thanks for...
Hey, Dave. It's 3 a.m, and you want a warrant to search Grant and Strickland.
Right.
They're the victims.
No. Listen. You gotta trust me on this. Kozak is hiding something. Forrester was framed for that arson.
If Forrester was framed, why did he throw in the towel?
What are you talking about?
Forrester pleaded out.
Why didn't somebody tell me that?
Because you're off the case.
You can't do this.
The jury convenes at 10 to hear Forrester's plea. I'll handle it. And I want you either to get your head screwed on straight or find another job. Is that clear?
Abundantly clear. However, the point I had to...
Dave rubs his mouth as he slowly turns away from Ken's closed front door. He walks away. Outside the futuristic offices of Grant and Strickland, Dave walks, then stops and sniffs the air. He runs over to the high-tech building, which is illuminated by green and blue lights, and comes to a wire mesh grill. Dave sniffs, and inside the lab, the other old English sheepdog looks round at a wire mesh grill in the ceiling. Other caged animals in the lab start barking, including a strange creature with the head of a dog and body of a reptile, a monkey in red shorts, various rats and rabbits, and the chimp and snake, all of which yap like dogs. Gwen and Larry frown.
What's got into them?
I don't know.
Yeah, boy.
Dave tries to squeeze through a narrow opening.
Can't. That's not gonna work. I'm too big.
He almost gets wedged in the tiny gap, so backs out again and tries to think. He spots a hobo pushing a shopping trolley full of bits and pieces. Dave picks up a stick off the ground and strides over to him.
Hey, you. Hold on a second. Do me a favor. All right? All right, throw the stick over there.
Why would I throw the stick?
Just throw the stick, please.
Why would I throw the stick?
Because I'll give you $5 to throw the stick.
Oh, I look like a guy who needs $5.
Dave looks at the scruffy guy.
Give me the money. Speed or distance?
Distance.
The hobo flings the stick and Dave gallops after it on all fours. He picks it up, clamps it between his teeth, and races back to the young homeless guy. Dave kneels upright, and the hobo takes the stick from his mouth.
So close, so close. This time, throw it. And he'll fetch.
The guy hesitates.
Don't make me bite you.
Fetch!
He flings the stick again, and by the time Dave reaches it, he's turned back into a dog.
Wow, I can't believe that worked. Thanks!
Doggy Dave tries to get through the gap, but he's still got the stick clamped in his mouth.
Drop the stick. All right. Perfect. Nice fit.
He's in the air vent.
That's it. Follow your nose. Wait a minute. What's that smell? What is it? Oh, it's me.
In the lab, Gwen opens a refrigerator and takes out a rack of test tubes. Dave walks through the air vents and shakes himself before taking a right turn. In the lab, Kozak draws the fluid out of one of the test tubes into a syringe.
A transistor, a microchip, the artificial heart. All footnotes compared to this.
Mr. Strickland sits beside him in his wheelchair and coughs. Dave reaches a metal grill and looks down into the lab.
Bingo.
Kozak injects the fluid into Strickland's arm and releases a tourniquet, allowing the fluid to flow into his bloodstream. Strickland smiles, looking quite pleased, then suddenly shudders and convulses.
He's going into shock. It's the serum.
What do we do? Of course it works. I just didn't give it to him.
What have you done to him?
Lance, yeah. I'm so sorry that I had to do this to you, but I just couldn't let you take all the credit again. And plus, you're a pig, and I hate you. I hate you in so many ways.
He gives Larry the syringe.
Can you hold this for a second? Get rid of it, accomplice.
But is he dead?
No, he's not dead. He's fully conscious, but he's unable to speak. The doctors will think it's dementia. The drug itself will wear off in a few months, but by then, I'll be CEO, and I will be fabulously, insanely, unimaginably wealthy.
This was not part of the plan.
This is totally wrong.
Of course, I'll cut both of you in on his share.
I'm cool with that.
It's fine by me.
Good. Larry, why don't you wheel him up to his office, park him at his desk? Or, should I say, my desk?
Oh, boy. Gotta get out of here.
Go, 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 go!
Dave runs back up the air vent.
What was that?
I knew Kozak was up to something.
He sprints out of the building.
Carly was right about everything. Forced to his frame.
He gets to his car.
Uh-oh.
He scrabbles at the door but can't get in.
Looks like I'm walking.
Kozak, Gwen, and Larry watch security footage of Dave the dog.
Wow.
That's something. Wow. Do you realize the significance of that?
Wow. You think? Yeah, I think it's mildly significant. Fortunately, it's on tape.
Kozak busts up the security tape and throws it across the room.
Here's what we're going to do. You two are going to pay Mr. Douglas a visit.
Rebecca wakes up to find Dave's note on the pillow beside her. Rebecca, I'll explain everything soon. Love, Dave. She smiles, then looks down at the bedspread to find the words, I love you, spelled out in rose petals. Baxter comes out of his house wearing a brace around his neck. He bends down to pick up the newspaper, then glances over at his rose bushes, which have been stripped of their blooms.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. No. Not my babies. Not my darlings. Oh, evil. These hooligans! Ah!
Dave, still as a dog, runs down the road at top speed. At home, Josh comes downstairs, passing Carly, who sits looking miserable.
Where's the train? We're gonna be late for school. Should have gotten a ride from Mom.
Carly stares at him glumly.
What's the matter?
Do you realize what's happening? Mom and Dad are splitting up.
How do you know?
Josh, it's obvious.
Josh puts down his school bag and answers the door to Dave.
Shaggy.
I just witnessed an attempted murder. Carly, you were right about everything. An innocent man is about ready to go to jail. I gotta take a nap. Don't wake me unless I'm human, okay?
I mean, did you see that note he left? I'll explain everything. We're gonna get the talk.
What talk?
The mom and dad are having problems talk. Then dad'll leave. They'll say it's temporary, but it won't be.
Are you sure you're not just drama queening?
Josh, he didn't even come home last night. But if you ask me, he stopped caring a long time before that.
Josh looks down. Dave listens.
No, that's not it. No.
Dave runs into the living room, bounds up onto the back of a chair, and leaps across to the shelving unit, knocking off the Scrabble game with his nose. The lettered tiles scatter across the floor, and he starts to arrange them with his paw.
Shaggy!
Carly and Josh run in.
Shaggy, would you stop making such a...
They stop when they see what he's written.
That's impossible.
The tiles spell out, I am Dad. Dave stares up at them.
Finally.
The kids stare, shocked and wide-eyed.
How?
Dave rearranges the small tiles with his paw, spelling out Grant and Strickland.
Grant and Strickland?
Yes.
Mr. Mr. Forrester said they were making mutant animals, and that's where I found Shaggy. And Shaggy bit Dad.
She hugs him.
Oh, Daddy!
It's okay, kiddo. It's okay.
I'm so sorry. This is all my fault. Can you please forgive me?
There's nothing to forgive.
Dave licks her face. She strokes his head.
I'm gonna go call Mom.
Josh looks at him.
So, you saw the game yesterday?
Yeah.
I didn't want to let you down, but I'm just no good.
No. You are good.
Carly's on the phone.
Come on.
Dave clamps Josh's school bag between his jaws and brings it into the living room.
Josh? This? Look at it here.
He noses around inside the bag and pulls out the grease script.
Do this. This is what you love. Because if you keep playing football, you're gonna get hurt.
Thanks, Dad.
And something else?
Dave pulls out a maths textbook and Josh takes it.
I know.
Deal?
It's a deal.
They shake.
Mom, it's Carly. Call me back as soon as you get this message. Bye.
You hear that? Somebody's peeing on the lawn! Nobody makes it on my lawn and gets away with it, I'm gonna...
He runs out to Attila and is suddenly zapped by electricity. He collapses on the path and Larry picks him up.
Clean up on aisle 3. Price check on dog biscuits.
Oh, okay. Hi, Mr. Douglas.
Who are you?
How are you?
Attila, wearing a neck brace and sticking plaster, watches as Larry and Gwen shut Dave in the back of a car.
I don't feel so good.
Dad! Daddy!
Hit it.
Yeah, okay.
Josh and Carly run out to the car as Larry fires it up and speeds off down the road. The kids try to chase it, but it's much too fast. In the lab, Kozak talks to Dave, who's in a cage.
I'm sorry you're a dog. I am. Also, very sorry that you won't be leaving here alive. People will be wondering where you've disappeared to. Then again, dogs do wander off.
I can't believe you think you're going to get away with this, Kozak.
Nonetheless, before you die, we're going to want to run some tests on you. Eeny, meeny, miny, cut you, hurt you, ow, your nose is coming off. Because we just don't understand how you turned into him.
The other dog barks.
I'm very excited. I just can't wait to get inside that body of yours and just poke around.
Dave bites him.
Oh, you filthy little mongrel!
His finger's bleeding.
That wasn't very nice.
Ooh, it hurt, didn't it?
I'm gonna have to work on that attitude when I get back. Meanwhile, we're gonna run upstairs for a minute. It seems Dr. Strickland is having a bit of a health crisis. After that, we're off to court. Watch. Justin Forrester back down to save his own skin. Be back to cut you up like a birthday cake later.
Kozak scratches like a dog as he gets into the lift. Dave turns to the other sheepdog.
Huh. Who are you anyway? Tibet. Really? Well, let me ask you this. Why did you bite me?
And turning me into a dog would help you how?
I guess you didn't think about that, did you?
All the other animals bark like dogs, too.
Well, I turn into a human when I sleep. But there's no time for that now, is there? There's gotta be another way.
The chimp and sheepdog bark at him.
Meditation?
Trey's souped-up Ford Focus pulls up outside the Douglas' house, and Carly and Josh run out.
Hey, sorry I'm late.
Get in and drive!
They get in.
What's wrong with you?
Dad's been dog-napped. Go, go!
In the lab.
Inhale. Exhale. I got to get my heart rate down.
Dave's still in his cage.
I'm on a beach. Inhale. Exhale. Surrounded by fire hydrants.
The half-dog, half-reptile also does deep breathing.
Food everywhere. Slow, rolling waves of gravy crashing under the shark.
The other animals, the chimp, the rabbits, and the rats, all sit cross-legged with their front paws together, deep breathing.
A beached whale made of peanut butter.
Dave the dog's eyes are closed. He opens his eyes, which are now blue and human. The chimp nods wisely. The monkey screeches and the rats stare in amazement. Dave's a human again, but he's still trapped in the cage.
It worked. It worked. Great. Back. It's good. It's good.
He looks at the bars surrounding him.
New problem. New problem.
Keys are on a hook.
Yeah. I've got to get those keys. Now, if I could just get over there. Okay. Yeah. Go.
He rocks the cage to and fro. It starts to teeter over the edge of the table, and Dave realizes what he's done. The cage falls off the table and slams onto the ground. Dave's dazed and still trapped.
Okay, who's got a plan?
Trey's car races down the street.
Snake, do they have ears? Can you hear me? Don't need to show that hood at me. You gotta watch, because it's gonna fall over. All right, monkey. Sorry, chimp. You gotta push. On three, ready? One, two, three, push! Harder this time. One, two, three, push!
The chimp kicks his cage.
All right, need some help from the rabbits. You gotta hop into this. One, two, three, ha!
The snake's glass case moves.
Oh, you almost got it. You almost got it. All right, one more time. We got a big one. Here we go. One, two, three, ha!
The snake's case falls off the table, and its door drops open. The chimp and monkey look excited as the dazed snake lifts its head.
Yo, snake, walk, skirt, do what, slither.
It slithers past Dave's cage.
Go, go, come on, come on, come on. Yeah, attaboy, attaboy, attaboy. You see where it is? Of course you do. Perfect.
Stretch. The snake stretches up, puts its head through the key ring and unhooks it. The key ring drops down the snake's long, sinewy body until it reaches its shaggy dog's tail. Dave reaches through the bars.
Beautiful.
He grabs the keys.
Yes! We're out of here!
The animals bark excitedly, and one of the rats does a backward somersault down its ramp. Trey's car speeds down a road. Dave, now wearing a blue lab coat, lifts the other sheepdog up into the air vent.
Yes! You're next.
He puts a rabbit into the vent.
Follow the dog. All right. Come on. Come on.
Now the monkey.
Come on. Up there. Go. Take care of the rabbit.
The chimp inhales gas.
Get it? Help him out.
The chimp lumbers over to Dave, then jumps onto his back and climbs up into the vent. The animals follow the other old English sheepdog through the pipes. The strange half-dog, half-reptile creature hops over to Dave, who picks it up. Dave strains to lift the creature up into the vent.
What have you been eating?
He throws the creature into the vent and it lands in a heap.
Sorry about that.
Right, up here.
Dave picks up the snake.
You're heavy. All right. Snake, come on.
He feeds the snake into the vent. The other dogs made it out of the building. The snake's fluffy tail brushes Dave's neck.
Ooh, yeah. That's creepy. That's creepy. Whew. All right. So left, a left, a right, and a left. Just go towards the light. I'll meet you guys out there.
Dave suddenly freezes with his hair standing on end, then falls to the floor. Gwen holds an electronic taser.
Nice. Thank you.
The snake's seen what's happened and barks at the half-dog, half-reptile, who then barks at the chimp. The other dog runs outside the building as Trey's car skids to a halt. Carly jumps out and points at the dog.
There he is! Look! Come here! Come on, Dad!
The other dog jumps into the car and Carly gets back in.
We won't let them get away with it. Don't worry, Daddy.
That's right, Dad.
Trey, Carly and Josh speed off. In the lab, Gwen locks Dave into another cage.
You know, you guys seem like nice young people with great futures. You know that I'm the deputy district attorney. Kidnapping is a capital crime. You just can't lock people in cages, guys.
Yeah, there's a definite line we're crossing here.
We crossed that line a long time ago, Larry. Deal with it.
Larry hands Gwen a syringe, while behind their backs, the snake hangs out of the air vent and the chimp climbs down it.
You know, you're not going to get away with this.
No. You be a good little doggy and do just what we say.
They're both zapped and fall to the floor. Behind them, the chimp holds the electronic taser.
Doesn't feel so good to get zapped, does it? Attaboy, chimp! Good, now get over here and get me out of here. Come on, put that thing down.
It shakes its head. In Trey's car...
Please don't be mad, Daddy. Don't worry, Dad. We're going to take you to Mom and explain everything.
He's really angry.
Outside the lab.
You gotta go.
door is.
He talks to the monkey.
Good, good, good. Which way? Are you sure?
Dave pushes a trolley out of the corridor. Rebecca's at work.
I like the dark travertine better. What do you think?
I agree. I'll push for that one.
Okay, good.
She sees the kids and the sheepdog on a lower floor.
Could you just excuse me for a minute?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's tough being a single mom.
The woman goes.
I'm not a single mom.
Mom, we need to talk.
Why aren't you guys in school, and why is Shaggy here?
It's not a dog. It's Dad.
Thought we were going to break it to her slowly.
Grant and Strickland's been doing all these weird animal tests.
So when Shaggy bit Dad, he turned into a dog.
Carly, that's not possible.
It's true. The computer. The other night, he was typing on the computer. Come on, Dad. Type Mom a message. Come on.
The dog sits in front of a computer.
Come on. Come on, Dad. Do it like you did the other night. Come on, you know, like this. Just one sentence. I am Dad. How about just Dad?
The dog drops the pencil from its mouth.
Kids, I know that these last couple days have been difficult, but...
The animals from the lab are in Dave's car. Dave talks on his mobile as he drives.
Hello?
Hi, honey, it's me.
It's your father. Wow, so many questions. Do you know why the kids are at my office with Shaggy?
He's not Shaggy. His name is Ki-Yak Po.
Ki-Yak who?
Po, that's his real name.
You know, how did the kids find him?
That's weird.
That is not the only thing that's weird.
No, not that. You ought to see what I'm looking at.
They're trying to tell me that he is you.
Stop that.
What are you doing?
What?
The animals are misbehaving.
He's not... Guys. He's not me.
Well, yes, I gathered that.
But they're half right. Look, I'll meet you at the courthouse and I'll explain everything to you.
I think you better explain it now.
Well, I can't explain... I can't... Hold on a second. I can't. The chimp... What? Excuse me. The monkey...
Hello.
What is it?
The monkey's on his shoulder.
The chimp... Chimp? The chimp has got sunglasses on. He's supposed to be giving me directions.
He overtakes a car. The driver glances over to see the chimp wearing sunglasses and grinning at him. Two rabbits lean out of the back window and bark at the driver, who stares wide-eyed as the snake extends up through the sunroof. The driver lets Dave overtake, then sees the half-dog, half-reptile creature barking at him through the back window.
It's a friend of mine.
What?
Just meet me at the courthouse and bring me some clothes, okay?
Dave!
Watch the rat! I love you! Everybody calm down!
Dave!
Dave looks round.
What's the matter with you guys? How come you can't act like the snake here, right?
The snake barks.
Yeah. He wants us to meet him at the courthouse with a change of clothes.
I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense.
2 days ago, when your father came home in the middle of the night, he tried to convince me that he turned into a dog.
Rebecca stares at the other old English sheepdog, who seems to nod.
Let's go to the courthouse!
That's my Nora Jones CD. You can play it if you want. Play it.
The chimp chucks it out of the window.
Or you could throw it out of the car. Why'd you do that?
Not looking where he's going, Dave doesn't spot a queue of traffic up ahead and slams on his brakes. He and the animals brace themselves as the car skids up the road and stops with an inch to spare.
We're all done? It's okay. Yeah, it's all right. And I saw it coming.
In court...
All rise for the Honorable Judge Whittaker.
The court rises. Kozak is among the spectators.
Be seated and come to order.
Dave and his car full of animals are stuck at the back of a traffic jam half a mile from the city centre.
All right. I gotta go, guys. All right, you guys, stay here. All of you, stay here. Look. I'll be right back. Don't talk to anybody. Don't play the music. You're in charge.
He's left the monkey in charge, and the chimp has a tantrum. Dave, wearing a shirt, trousers, and blue lab coat, runs between the lines of stationary traffic. He sprints along the flyover towards the huge, futuristic skyscrapers of the city centre. A guy in glasses pokes his head out of his car to watch Dave run. As Dave races between the vehicles, he drops down to gallop on all fours, then turns back into a dog. Dave the dog still wears the blue lab coat over his back as he jumps onto the boot of a car and dashes across the roofs of the static vehicles. Wearing the lab coat like a cape, Dave leaps over a barrier.
To infinity and beyond!
A bus passes underneath the flyover and Dave lands on its roof. The destination on the front of the bus reads LA Courthouse. The lab coat flutters away. Josh, Carly, Trey and the other dogs stand outside the courthouse with Rebecca, who holds a suit.
Do you guys think he's really coming?
I don't know, kids.
A bus pulls away, revealing Dave in the middle of the road. Josh spots him.
Wait, look!
Dave runs onto the pavement and up the courthouse steps towards them. He and the other old English sheepdog come face to face.
Daddy, is that you?
It's me, kiddo.
But it can't be. He's a dog.
Would a dog say this?
What did you say? Oh, honey.
You got it.
I love you too.
His paws on her shoulder.
I love you.
Dave's turned back into a human. Rebecca stares into his eyes, seemingly unaware that he's naked.
It's weird for me too, but it is me.
They kiss.
That was cool.
I'm real sorry about everything. I'm really sorry. And I'll make it up to all of you, but right now, I've got a trial to stop.
He strides to the building.
Mr. Douglas?
Yeah.
He turns back to Trey, who holds up the suit. Dave glances down at his nude body, then sheepishly grabs the suit.
Everyone's gonna need therapy after this.
In court.
Counselors, you may proceed.
Your Honor, at this time, my client would like to change his plea.
Hold everything, please. Hold everything.
Dave bursts in.
Kozak, sit.
Mr. Douglas, it is my understanding that you are no longer on this case.
That is exactly right, Your Honor.
I understand that, Your Honor. If I could just have a few moments with my associate, it's very important.
The judge sighs and throws up her hands.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Dave walks up to Ken.
Give me a chance. Give me one more chance. I will not disappoint you. Stay, Kozak.
Kozak obeys.
You gotta trust me. If you're ever trusting me, you gotta trust me right this minute.
Ken stares at him thoughtfully, then glances back at the judge.
He's back on, Your Honor.
Let's get Kozak back on the stand one more time. Let me know.
We'd like to recall Dr. Kozak to the stand.
Dr. Kozak, would you please return to the stand?
I'd be delighted.
Wearing a fake, cheesy grin, Kozak walks to the stand.
Counselor, you are on a very short leash. This court has lost all patience with ridiculous behavior.
Your Honor, just because something looks ridiculous doesn't mean it's not true. It just takes more courage to believe in it.
Just don't let your courage get itself kicked out of my courtroom.
His family come in.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Dr. Kozak, may I remind you, you are still under oath.
Yes, you may.
Dr. Kozak, is it true your company is working on a drug that will extend human life like 100 years?
I am not at liberty to discuss that matter.
Of course you're not. But if that were true, that would be a pretty big deal, right?
Were true, which it is not, probably.
And whoever was in charge of developing such a thing, whew, not only would they be insanely wealthy, they would be immortalized in history, right?
Yes. I suppose they would.
Wow. What a thrill it must be to work under Dr. Strickland.
Kozak scratches like a dog.
Excuse me. Dr. Strickland, the creative force at your company, right?
Well, it takes many different people to contribute to the higher...
Yes. But what an honor it must be to work in Dr. Strickland's shadow.
No. I don't work in anyone's shadow. I wouldn't. I couldn't live with myself.
Doctor, there's nothing wrong with being in second place. Second fiddle, second banana, second up.
I am the chief scientist. I, me, mine!
Ah! Oh, come on. Get kind of agitated. Sup, dog? Picked up a little virus down there in the lab, did you?
There must be something going around.
Dave and Kozak get nose to nose and growl at each other. The rest of the court stare at them in astonishment.
No more growling! Mr. Douglas, I have had enough.
He stole a sacred dog from China and stuck needles in it and almost killed this thing for his little experiments.
Did not.
The witness is not on trial.
Thank you.
You put your boss in a coma, didn't you?
Bailiff, escort Mr. Douglas out of the courtroom.
Thank you, Bailiff.
The bailiff drags Dave out of the court. Dave's family sink in their seats.
I've seen that monkey that barks. It's real.
Ken takes a pill.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, please disregard everything Mr. Douglas has said.
Dave runs back.
Hey, Kozak!
Kozak, go fetch. Oh.
He throws the bailiff's nightstick and Kozak leaps out of the witness box with his eyes wide and his tongue lolling about like a dog's. He gallops across the courtroom on all fours, picks up the nightstick in his teeth and stands excitedly. He turns to the judge, then slowly realizes what he's doing. He spits out the stick and acts nonchalant.
Sorry, things are a little stressy. At work, long hours, and the like, you what?
The spectators and members of the jury gasp and point at Kozak, who looks bewildered, then glances behind him to see a long, shaggy tail poking out of the back of his trousers. He spins left and right to try and catch the tail, which whacks a guy across the face a few times.
If that isn't evidence of genetic mutation, I don't know what is.
On second thought, bailiff, take him into custody.
For what? Jumping around a little DNA? Huh? Don't you morons realize I can make us all immortal? Animals don't care. They don't even understand what's going on.
Don't tell me they don't understand. Animals understand. I know different.
A bailiff drags away Kozak, who cackles at Dave.
This isn't over. We got so much in common. Stay in touch, huh? Ooh, are we going outside?
He's yanked out by the bailiff. Dave smiles at his family, who grin back at him. Later, he walks out of the courthouse with Ken.
I owe you an apology. You got this one right after all.
Thank you, Ken. I don't even want to know how that car got here.
His car's smashed up outside the courthouse with the animals on it.
All right, boss, I want you to set up a trust fund to help my animal friends over there. Keep them off the highway.
Absolutely.
A cop's writing a ticket.
After today's, you're sure in to get elected DA. Take your kudos.
Actually, I have some more important people to talk to. I'll see you guys.
The press converge.
Thank you all very much. No, thank you. You know what? I will have a prepared statement from my office. Thank you all very much.
He strolls over to his family and the other sheepdog. Carly hugs him.
You made a great dog, Dad, but you're going to make an even better DA.
Carly, it means the world to me to hear you say that. It really does. Josh, listen. It took the eyes of a dog for me to see that I made it hard for you to tell the truth. The truth is, son, whatever you love, I'm going to love and support, too.
Thanks, Dad.
Dave wraps his arms around Rebecca's waist.
Brace yourself for the old dog and your new man. Yeah. Get out that new bikini. We are going to Oahu.
The view pans up to the clear blue sky. Now, bathed in sunlight on a golden sandy beach, Dave and Rebecca kiss again.
Oahu. I love you.
I love you too. Just like I promised.
Hey, you guys, check it out!
What's that? Will you look at that?
They look over at the surfers on the ocean. The sheepdog stands on his hind legs as he comes coasting down a wave on a board.
Look at that. Hey, folks! There's a 300-year-old dog shooting a curl. Atta boy!
His ears flap as he balances on the surfboard.
Oh, I wish he didn't have to go back to Tibet.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad! Cat!
Josh throws a frisbee and Dave races after it.
I got it!
Dave remains human as he jumps up and catches the frisbee in his mouth. The image freezes in a photo with Aloha written across it. ITFC audio description by Alan Blyton. Scrabble tiles shuffle around, then reform to spell the credits. Directed by Brian Robbins. Screenplay by The Wibblies and Jeff Rodkey and Jack Amiel and Michael Begler. Produced by David Hoberman, Tim Allen. Executive producers Robert Simons, Todd Lieberman. Executive producers William Fay, Matthew Carroll. Director of photography Gabriel Beristain, BSc, ASC. Production designer Leslie MacDonald. Edited by Ned Bastille, ACE. Costumes designed by Molly McGuinness. Music by Alan Menken. Casting by Jewel Bestrup, CSA, and Jean McCarthy, CSA. Tim Allen, Robert Downey Jr., Kristen Davis, Danny Glover, Spencer Breslin, Jane Curtin.